Okay, Bill, I just had another one pass through. These go in and leave really fast, so I got to jump in. The headline would be just two words, free gold, and it would play off the story that you guys did in the flea market. And it is, and, you know, my name is Bill, dear friend, my name is Bill Myers. I have the most incredible story to tell you. If you have ever bought gold, or if you ever plan to buy gold, or if you're even interested in gold, you need to hear everything I'm about to tell you. It could change your life. It could mean, et cetera, et cetera. And then I get into gloom and doom. Then I tell the story.
Yeah, you could say, learn how to buy this gold panda ring for $15. I'm surprised no one has mentioned the word golden fleece.
An insurance policy for gold investors.
I have a couple. Don't be the next victim. Foolproof way of being sure of what you buy. Or how to become the authority on determining real or fake gold.
That's good. Everybody wants to be the authority. Right, that's good.
And how can you make, or how you can make $500 a day at swap meets and have fun doing it.
That's good. That's good, too. But I don't know if that's good for our market, but that's a good headline for another group to send this to. Everybody in here, I want you to know something. When you leave this room, when you get on your planes Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, there's no way I can stop any of you from selling this product. And if you hear a headline you like, but you don't think it's good for this market, don't let it just go through your ears. Write it down, and when you get home, contact somebody like Karen Anderson and say, I want a list of people who are treasure hunters who attend flea markets. Write the letter out. I've just shown you how to get the product. We know that you're going to make profit on it. I mean, don't just say, oh, this is great, and when we go home, we'll think about how good a time we had in Hot Springs. Actually do something. Here you're getting headlines from some of the best copywriters in the world. You got Gary Halbert back here, who just gave you a plan of how to make, if you sell one at his price of $1,500, you make it $600 back, you'll have an $800 profit, which you can roll out further. So don't just shake your head and say, this is good stuff. Write it down and actually do it when you go home.
Are you going to give me the address for
that? Yeah. We'll give you the address of Tri Electronics. I believe it's probably on your sheet already, but if not, I'll give it to anybody who actually sends me a sales letter.
What was your production? I thought they were going to have trouble producing.
No, they're... Yeah,
I got that fixed. Okay, I'm trying something different. I'm going to appear to raise the price $100, and for the stupid buyers, it will. For most of the buyers, it won't. There's a photograph with what looks like a pirate's treasure of three little piles. It says, guess which is the real pile of gold and win $100. And what they win is a $100 discount off the price, which I've raised $100, if they can tell me whether pile A, B, or C is the real one.
Good.
I'm Bruce Elliott from Eugene, and I'm a...
Eugene?
From Eugene, Oregon. And I'm a gold dealer out there. And
speak up.
The one thing I want to tell you is if you take this thing home, I wouldn't go after the coin market. The coin market is not, this particular device is not the one to be using for the coin market. I use them in my store and I buy gold all the time, and it's mainly designed for jewelry. They do have another product that supposedly is refined enough to work for the bullion market or the coin market, but I wouldn't recommend it if you're going to take it home. It's more designed for carated jewelry, and so I'd be careful with that.
Yeah, but see, you're going to give my secret away. I want all these copywriters here who make $15,000 an hour to write me a ultimate pitch for the gold coin market, and then I'm not going to sell them this one. I'm going to sell them the good one, the one that's designed exclusively for the coin market, because I know anybody in here who sells...
My headline says, know the truth about the gold jewelry you own.
Right, that's good. Then again, that's another good, simple headline. One thing that I learned at Gary Halbert's seminar was when we passed the mic around, everybody in the audience, or most people, could come up with a real clever headline. But that's not the point of advertising, is it? You don't win points for clever. You win points for sales.
Well, I've got one here. Jewelry, coins, real or not real, find out with this amazing gold tester used by jewelers.
That was good. I'll tell you what I like so far. I like Technically's idea to put a three-quarter size or an actual photograph of the device up there to show how big it is. I like the idea of using the words 10 seconds. You can determine the value of jewelry in 10 seconds. I like some of Carl's headlines, some of the things he said. I forgot what he said. We'll have to repeat those again. Anyway, when we say we like those ideas, we write them into the computer so we can print out our first page. They have a good idea. Don't you think it's important for people to know the size of this thing? And don't you think it's important for them to know it only takes 10 seconds to test anything? I mean, those are things that me, as a consumer, if I were interested in buying this thing, that's what I want to know. How big is it? How fast is it testing it? Because if it takes, I mean, I never really thought about it, but 10 seconds is pretty fast. It actually takes less than 10 seconds.
What about Krugerrands?
It works on Krugerrands, too.
And Mexican money.
Right. It'll work on any kind of gold.
Mexican, too?
Yeah, it works on any kind of gold, even antique gold.
Hi, neighbor. Test your gold. Know what you have. Your own personal tester is available at a reasonable fee of $3.45 or whatever.
Is that a classified ad or a direct? Yeah. But is anybody discovering that it's tough to write? I mean, in some cases, wouldn't it be better just to say, you know, this is a great product, I know I'm going to make money on it. Why not call up a copywriter and just say, here, send me the thing, I'll send you a check. And the copywriter said, no, I'll tell you what, send me the check and I'll send you the letter.
Amazing new discovery now uncovers fake gold and silver coins.
I like that. I like the amazing new discovery because how many people knew this thing existed before you saw it today? And this is probably a space age product. I mean, what I would do was something John Kaufman said, was call up the manufacturer and ask them some questions about how did this thing come about? Is it a development of NASA or space age technology, and tell me some of the stuff that goes in it. You know, Gary Halbert said to use specific numbers and information. You can say how long it took to develop, how many man hours went into it, how many dollars, and talk about how exclusive a product this is, and up until just recently, this is something else somebody else mentioned, not available to the general public, not available in retail stores, sold exclusively to jewelers. And only the inside jewelers knew about this product. I called the company. Yeah, now just like this. Say you're a company. You have a product. The more product you sell, the more money you make. Somebody calls you and says, I want to buy some of your product. What are you going to say? You're going to say, yes, I'll sell it to you, or no, I don't like the color of your money, so I'm not going to sell it to you. No, as a matter of fact, we had to order three today. We had to order three today because of sales. And if I had some in this room, I could probably sell them to you, even at full price, so that you could take them home and look at them and take pictures of them and test your gold. I mean, you know, it's fun. If you're a single male and you walk into a bar and you see a girl sitting at the bar with a ring on, hopefully not a wedding ring, and you say, is that a real diamond? She'll say, I sure hope so. You say, well, let me test it for you. And you know what will happen? She'll go tell her friends, and pretty soon there'll be five, six girls standing around and wanting you to test diamonds for them. Now, I don't do that because I'm a married man.
Bill, that's a clever way of working in the sex appeal. It really is.
There you go.
I have a question about the mailing list. Suppose we all buy the mailing list from you. Do we all get the same names?
No. The point is, and Karen Anderson can tell you right now, Karen, how many lists can you think of using different approaches to mail to? Wouldn't you say there's probably 200, 300, 400 lists and probably 1,000 different ways to sell this thing? I mean, this thing, you don't have to sell to people who are buying gold coins. You can sell it to anybody who goes to a flea market. How many people in here have ever been to a flea market?
You can, Bill, here's one you can sell to either the opportunity market, which I think is close to the flea market. It's free gold.
I made a $389 profit in 10 seconds at a flea market last month using this 10-ounce jeweler's ripoff protector hid in the palm of my hand, and no one knew how I did it.
That's good.
But that is, and you wouldn't have to sell to people who already bought gold. You could go to an entirely new audience with that appeal. You would go to the opportunities market. And it would probably fail miserably, but it would be worth a try.
Now, I want you guys to know something. We talked about this morning. I want you to remember this. How much does it cost you to test this idea? How much does it cost you to test this idea? $600. Now, if you can't afford to test this idea for $600, you probably can't afford to test any idea, can you? Because we put the numbers on the screen. All you have to sell is three at the super low price of $349. If we pump it up to $409, like Gary says, you only have to sell two to recover your investment. If you push the price up to $900 or $1,500, you have to sell half of one. One.
Bill?
Now, if you don't think people will pay $1,400 for product, look around in this room. How many people? I don't want to ask that question.
Bill, in terms of the list, I think people need to realize how huge the universe is of buyers for just this particular item alone. I could probably give, and I'll just make up these numbers off the top of my head, but I could probably give each person in here five different lists, and within those lists, there could be 50,000, 75,000, 100,000 names. There are plenty of names to go
right,
around.
We're talking about 260 million Americans, but you know, we think small. We think small. Well, what about Europe? What about Australia? What about New Zealand? What about Mexico, Canada, France, Spain? You know, this thing works on batteries, and gold is gold no matter where you are. So you can work it anywhere. I mean, if it works here, you'll have to get somebody to rewrite your pitch in a language and in a culture they understand, but you're not limited to this, to your own neighborhood or your own backyard.
Hey, Bill.
You're limited to the planet, and that's just, you know, for a while.
I had another one of these ideas go through my head, and if I don't say something, it's going to be gone. Serious. This is something, I think somebody said this probably during the speeches, but it bears repeating, and especially because I think it's going through your guys' heads.
Well,
there's three parts to any kind of direct mail piece. There's the list, the offer, and the copy. And since I'm a copywriter, I sometimes will do nothing but write the copy. Somebody's coming to me, and they're going to buy the list, so I have no say in that. And they've already decided how much they're going to sell it for and what the deal is, so I have no say in that. And often, all that's left for me to do is write the copy. Sometimes people come to me with a product, and I have to help them find the list, develop the offer, which is what we're doing here, and also write the copy. But you need to understand that of all these three items, you have to imagine them as being multiplied by each other. So you could have the best list in the world, and you could have the most sterling copy written by David Deutsch, Loretta Duffy, Gary Halbert, or myself. But if your offer sucks, and Lisa, and everybody else, and Ted, and what's his name? Imagine this as being multiplied. Gary Halbert said it, but I don't think he explained it very much. You can't multiply zeros, so you've really got to understand all these things blend together. If you have a great offer, say you're offering this with free gold, actually in the package, and you have great copy, but your list, if you go to people who bought Cuisinarts or Ginzing knives, then you're going to wind up with a zero response. What you want is the best list you can get with the best offer you can make, and that's what we're kind of doing here as we're writing the headlines. The way I would do this, I wouldn't do it the way Bill did it. I would sit down and I would figure out exactly what my offer is, and I think the offer generally dictates how the headline is going to run, because the offer is going to be constructed as carefully as the headline is, which is going to hit the hot buttons of the people.
Now, as far as if everybody in here wrote a separate letter for this, I mailed it out to a universe of, say, 2 million people, and those letters crossed, would you want to be the first person that mailed or the second, the same offer to the same person? If the person didn't buy the second time, would you want to be the second person or third person? And wouldn't it really depend on how well an offer you made and how much copy you wrote? I mean, you know, we heard today that sometimes it takes five or six times for people to buy a high-dollar product.
And, Bill, I think this is where I really like the power of endorsements, because if you get somebody that says, like Bill, or somebody that has name recognition to a particular list, if Bill sends to his list, and these are people that have bought from him before, and he said, I made an extra $500 in one afternoon at a flea market, I really think you should take a look at the ad, I mean the offer that's enclosed. This could save you this amount of money. It could make you this amount of money. It would be very powerful. And he's got his name writing on it, and that endorsement's going to make a difference to the person who's buying. Because right now we're talking about sending this out cold, right?
Right.
And there's a difference between sending out an offer cold and sending it out with an endorsement. If you get a letter from Gary, and Gary Halbert says, take a look at this seminar that Bill's doing, you go, well, Gary's recommending this. The power of endorsement is very important, and you're going to get a different response, and you can test this. You can test this offer with an endorsement and this offer without an endorsement. And I think you'll be surprised at how much difference there is in something that has an endorsement. I thought I'd just throw that in, and if anybody wants to talk to me about no.
Actually, Karen Anderson is a good person to talk to, especially about this product, although the first person is probably going to be first come, first serve on this particular product. She's involved with, that's probably not a good word.
Don't say that.
With famous newsletter writer Gary North and some other people that are involved in that particular market. But you know, there's a lot of ways to sell this. There's a book out called When Blood Runs on the Street, and it says the time, what you should do if you think things are going to get real bad is hoard up cash, wait till the blood runs on the street, and then go out and buy everything. Well, if that's your philosophy, when you go out and buy everything, don't you want to be able to put a value on the stuff you buy? That's a gold test that will allow you to do that. So there are a lot of different ways you could sell this. And what you're seeing here is a lot of different approaches. And as a matter of fact, everyone we heard is valid and probably would produce a profit. That's the hard part of copywriting. There's no such thing as this is the way to do it.
But know the risk when you're going out to the cold list.
Right, know the risk when you go. That's why if you stack the odds in your favor, so you only need one sale, two sales, you're much better off than if you're selling a product for $30, because remember the mailing costs the same, whether you're selling something for $30 or $3,000. If you'll stack the offer in your favor so you only need one sale or two sales, like Gary said, on certain lists there are people who buy everything. If you watch the home shopping show, you'll discover that no matter what piece of crap they put up there, people buy it. And you're thinking, what kind of idiots buy this? And what it is people are addicted to buying stuff. And they'll buy anything that you pass by them. And there are certain people like that on lists.
Just one thing about what John said. I'm glad he put that up there, because I think of list offer copy. Some people say, well, 40% is the list, 40% is the offer, and 20% is the copy. And it kind of doesn't give you a real good view of the whole thing. I think that if you think of it as a chain, if you eliminate any link in that chain, the chain falls apart. If your copy doesn't arrive, it doesn't matter what list it went out to, it doesn't matter how good the offer is. If it didn't arrive, it doesn't matter how good the copy is, nobody's going to read it, you're not going to get any sales from it, and that destroys the whole link in the chain.
I want to say something here. You know, we spent the last 2.5 hours trying to figure out a headline, right? Just a headline. Gary Halbert wrote the whole thing in 15 minutes. I mean, how small does that make you feel? That makes me feel real bad.
One more thing about that. What he said, you know, we came up with a lot of headlines here and stuff. Which one of those is the best one? And who can tell? None of us in this room can tell. Nobody here knows. Only the marketplace knows. And the only way you're going to find out is by making an educated guess as to which one's the test and to mail that. And you do start off with some degree of knowledge and what you think is going to work. What you feel is going to work, the only way you know for sure is to test them.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think also the marketplace will tell you what the price should be. We can think of prices, but only the marketplace can really tell you what the maximum profitable price will be. I like the idea of going up higher. I'd like to throw something else in. Assuming you can test gold coins, and I'm not sure, the gentleman said you can't, but assuming this product can test gold coins as well as jewelry, I like the idea, these people already bought gold coins. So what's wrong with increasing the offer to $995 to be below $1,000 and have a real panda coin, a 1 ounce panda coin, and a fake 1 ounce panda coin? So you know, it also establishes credibility for the product. These people are going to get it, tear the box open, look at their beautiful coins that are both going to look alike, and then try testing did on each of the products. I think that that will, A, appeal to the coin buyer. The guy's already buying coins. He bought them in the last 3 months. He's going to get an additional coin. He's going to test this. He's going to be a real excited guy. And I think you're going to have almost no returns that way, too, because the heartbreaking thing is you sell it and you get any returns because you're only going to get two or three.
And the point is, I tell you, if you're selling something for $1,000, you don't return. Because it's easier to make it than to give it back. I mean, even though it's hard to make it, it's a lot easier to make it than to give it back.
I'm not sure if I follow your point.
You know, you're talking about returns.
Right.
The point is, you want to deliver these people something that they really want, and you want to make sure that when they get it, they want to keep it. But if you price it too high, at $1,500, and you sell 10 of them, and you get 10 of them back, the odds are by the time you get it back, you've spent your $15,000 profit.
Right.
So it's easier to make the money than to give it back. For everybody except for Ted Nicholas.
Bill, can I...
I'm going to let you guys talk. Me and Gary are going to play over here with our next product.
I'd like to say something maybe that will help you in terms of something to take away from this in addition. You can see it's a lot easier to generate a lot of ideas and pick from those ideas than it is to try to come up with the right idea. I think a lot of people, when they first start out with these things, make the mistake of, you know, what is the right headline for this? What could it be or what could it be? And you can see what we do is just come up with 20 things. We pull them all together and we try to find those one or two in those 20 things that really work. And I think you too, when you're starting out, try to get headlines, you know, generate all you can, get your friends to write headlines. You know, you'll find little snippets and little pieces in that are going to be good ideas, and you may be able to put that together or give it to one of us to put together. But it's just real important to just get those ideas out. Write anything down that comes to mind and then pick.
Along with that, when I first got into doing this, and I do, you know, soup to nuts, copywriting, mm-hmm. editing, all that kind of stuff, one of the things that I learned early on was that you have to be pretty tough-skinned about your copy. You can't be personally invested. It's sort of like you don't fall in love with your product. You don't fall in love with your copy. And what you do is you have to give your copy to other people and say, does this make sense to you? What do you think about this? Bounce around ideas. If you write one headline and you go, I think this is really good, and you have that one headline and it doesn't sell, you go, ugh. You know, there's no way. And it's really important not to be personally invested in your copy, because it's not a reflection of you. It's how well is this communicating what you want to do to motivate this person to action. And so you give it to other people, you let other people, you test it, you ask the marketplace if they like it. But if somebody says to you, I read it, it doesn't make any sense, or if they say, I think it's sort of a lousy headline, you can't just go... Oh, I mean, you just can't take it personally. I don't know if y'all had that kind of experience, but you kind of learn.
I've been outside, but did anybody remember that Gary wrote the headline for Address to a Man, but all of the early statistics that Bill told you about is that every time the ad that they had cycled, that, you know, find out if the gold that you have is real, a woman called. So, I mean, is everybody stuck because you're trying to sell a product to a woman with a man's headline? That is not why anybody's like, well, you know, I'll go back outside.
I was just going to say that, you know, we spent an hour and a half or so fooling around with headlines. And I don't know whether you realize it. I don't know if anybody's underscored it yet. I haven't heard anybody say so. But I can tell you the headline is 80% of any ad or direct mail piece that you do. We found that a headline can mean the difference in one of our offers of about 15 times response, just the headline change. Now, when I wrote the book on forming a corporation, I wrote 200 different headlines before I selected the final headline. I wrote headlines for 2 weeks, and I showed my headlines to people that I respected that were good salespeople. You know, the best, if you're going to ask anybody, first of all, if you ask most people about a particular headline, it depends on who you're asking and their mindset. I like people that have a kind of a sales intuition if I'm going to ask anybody anything. Now, I don't ask too many people except on my staff, you know, about headline ideas, and there are one or two people who I respect a lot whose opinions I get, but the headline is crucial. And anybody that doesn't think so, all you've got to do is go out there with the wrong headline and you're going to fail, no matter how good the product or offer.
you know, even going and beyond that, how important the headline is the statistics show that 80% more people read the headline than the body copy. But statistics are funny things. They're all averaged out. In order to end up with 80% more people reading the headline than the body copy, some headlines had to get a lot higher readership to draw the person into reading the body copy for that 20% to exist. So the very best headlines drew even a much higher rate than 80% of the people who read the headline read the body copy in order to balance the whole thing out and average it out. So the very best headlines, in order to get the sale, you have to have them read your copy, and that's it's even higher. The average is 80%.
So let me ask you something, and I'm gonna ask you this question over and over and over and again. It's pretty obvious that most of us in here are not natural-born copywriters, and of all the things involved in direct mail, what do you think is the hardest thing to do? To write the offer, because we can all stuff them in envelopes, and we can all buy mailing lists, and we can all put the labels on the list, and we can put the stamps on the list, and we can probably find products like this. But the one thing that we can't do, that most of us can't do, is write an offer. Of course, our ego says, yeah, you can write an offer. You can write one as good as anybody else. So we write one, and we invest our $600 and send out the letter and get zero responses, right? How many offers have you written?
A dozen
offers. You get zero response. You say this has got to be a bad idea. You got how many inquiries did you have? 300, 200 inquiries? Well, you had 40 from your first ad immediately, but no, and 800 inquiries, not bad. How many sales? 61 sales out of 800. So you know what he's got? He's got a product everybody wants, but he has a hard time explaining to them what that product is and why they should buy it. What they've got is a videotape showing you how to make money cleaning computers. And they got a great little classified ad. It's a two-step process. They run a classified ad. People call and say, send me more information. They do get them more information. They go, oh my gosh, and throw it away. But you know they know what it's about because your ad talks about how you make the money cleaning computers. But the problem that we're all going to have and that every single person in this room has, if you actually follow through the stuff that we're sending to you, and the reality is that less than 5 of you here will ever do anything, but those of you who do something are going to make money, but the reality is less than 5. Those who actually follow through, you're going to write your own first offer, it's going to fail. Or you're going to try to write an offer and you're just going to give up because it's too hard. What you forget is you don't have to do it. You can be like a movie producer. The big movie producers, they don't know how to develop film. They don't know how to operate a camera. They don't know how to set lights, but what they do is hire people to do it for them. Now, if you were going to operate a business, say a laundry business, you don't necessarily need to go out there and run the washing machines and the dryers and the presses, do you? You just need to hire people to do it for you. Now, we're talking about probably the most lucrative business in the world here. You can work out of your basement. You can work out of your home. You can work in bed, as Carl mentioned. What does your wife do while you're working in bed?
She's off to work.
Work where you want. All you have to do is just do it, right? But our stumbling block is getting that offer written. So who do you contact? I mean, I wonder if there's anybody in the world that you might be able to contact, get offer written.
About offers, I've coined a new phrase for offers. It's called, being of Italian heritage. I've coined the Cosa Nostra school of offers, of advertising, actually. And what it is you make them an offer they just can't refuse. You pile on benefits and benefits. You add reports. You just make it so attractive that it's impossible to refuse. The one promotion I showed you an example of where the first one didn't work and the second one pulled 8 times the response of the first one and that did work. Well, actually the offer, to come up with the offer, there's something called shareware. I'm not sure all of you know what it is, so I'll just briefly explain. You buy a diskette with the program on it, but you're not paying for the program. You're getting the program to try it out. You pay for the copying charge, and the company sells it to you for $2 to $5 per diskette, and usually one program per diskette. Some require more diskettes. And you're just paying for the for that piece of that copying. You take it home, you try it out, you're on the honor system, and if you like it, the author of the software says to send a registration fee, which may be anywhere between $5 or $10 all the way up to $50, $60, $70, $80 or more dollars, and it usually averages out to $35. You're on the honor system. You don't necessarily have to send that in, but you're supposed to send it in if you use the software. And that's the whole thing about shareware. Some people are making millions of dollars who know nothing about marketing. They just put it into the shareware marketplace. A lot of people use it and never pay them, but they're getting rich off of the ones who do pay them, and that's what's important to them. In any case, the idea was that most people are charging $2 to $5 per diskette. Well, my client came up with a novel idea to take all of these programs, and by compressing them, he could fit 103 programs onto somewhere around 18 diskettes, and he could sell it for $39.95 to $49.95, which is less than 40 to 50 cents per program. Normally you pay $2 to $5 per program. That was a unique offer in and of itself, but that's what the original offer was. And how we beefed it up is we added a couple reports done by marketing experts who charged thousands of dollars for their for these reports that they get for free. And there were actually 11 reports. And you would actually have to pay sometimes hundreds of dollars. The equivalent value would be somewhere between $600 and $700, towards $700, if you had to buy these all separately and the programs. And you were going to get them for $39.95 to $49.95. And it was real simple. It didn't cost them a penny extra to put those 11 reports because you put them all onto diskette. And it was just one more diskette costing 25 cents extra. But the offer, which I dubbed the Cosa Nostra offer, it was an offer you couldn't refuse. It's just so much value for so little money.
Okay, we're going to take a break here, but before I do, I want to show you an offer. I didn't write this. I wish I would have, or I wish I would have been involved in this. How many of you received this in the mail about 2 years ago? This is an offer for Ivan Browning's tape where he predicted the earthquake in San Francisco and some other things. How many of you actually bought the tape? Ivan Browning was about 72 years old, and what they did is they pointed one camera at him, a very boring tape, and he sat and talked for an hour, but what he said was real important. And he had his daughter sitting next to him, and she also spoke. The tape is $99. And our local newspaper did an article on him because he predicted an earthquake at the New Madrid Fault, which is north of here, and the earthquake didn't happen, so they interviewed him. According to the person who wrote this letter and sent it out, now the tape is $99, they sold over 10,000 tapes. Does anybody have a calculator? Can anybody tell me what 10,000 times $99 is? $1 million. Now, they made their $1 million not because the tape was good, not because they had the right list, although that was important, but why did they make $1 million? Because of the offer, the copy and the offer. Now, to the people who mailed it out, do you think that they minded whatever it cost to have this offer written? I mean, if they made $1 million, what was worth more, the tape or the offer? Now, Ron Beeman, who's over here shooting this production, he can put together an hour of production, and he does a lot of our productions and productions for other people. He'll do a one-hour tape for anybody if you come down here and do it in the studio for about $1,200. That's a two-camera shoot with the mixers. That can give you end up a final product.
What's the implicit endorsement in this? I mean,
yeah, this is a...
Somebody tell me what it is.
Jim Blanchard's company.
It's Jim Blanchard. You're right. Trading right now.
Get her a mic.
If you saw this without the headline and you said that in front of an audience sat spellbound as Dr. Ivan Browning projected a major earthquake would strike North America in 10 days' time, how do you think that would be different from, what does it say, 89 up there? I can't see it. At the 89 Blanchard New Orleans Investment Conference, the audience sat spellbound as Dr. Ivan Browning.
You see the picture?
You see the difference?
You see the picture of all the twisted and wreckage and stuff? Of course, people had the earthquake on the mind because the earthquake had just occurred 2 months before. Right. Here's a guy who had predicted an earthquake. He had also predicted a lot of other stuff.
But do you think it would have pulled as well without Jim Blanchard's name? Or do you think it pulled better with Jim Blanchard's
name?
Yeah, see,
even if you don't know who Jim Blanchard is, something in bold type that says Blanchard New Orleans Investment Conference. Boy, that sounds like a high-powered thing, doesn't it? I mean, even if you don't know what it is, you're going to look and say, well, this guy predicted your earthquake, and then if you're semi-paranoid thinking, yeah, earthquakes, tornadoes, volcanoes, and actually on the tape he predicted the Ring of Fire would light up and that earthquakes in Alaska, I mean, that we would have volcanoes in Alaska and all the other volcanoes, and he was pretty much right on predicting volcanoes would go off. He also predicted some volcanoes wouldn't. He predicted the sun would come up, the sky would be blue, sometimes the days would be cloudy, so he was,
you know. How many people here have been to a Blanchard conference? Anybody? Ted speaks at the Blanchard Conference. How many people attend the Blanchard Conferences?
4 to 5 thousand. It's the largest.
Here, Ted, you want to do a duet?
Give me that old...
Sorry.
Yeah, the Blanchard Conference is the largest investment conference in the country. There's about 4 or 5 thousand, from 2 to 5 thousand, depending on the bull or bear markets,
so
you know, it varies, but
5,000,
it's big.
2 to 5 thousand people have responded to the offer to pay the money to come to the conference. So how many people know Jim Blanchard's name?
Well, the offer goes out to millions.
Millions of people have seen Jim Blanchard's name. Have millions of people before this seen Ivan Browning's name? No. Nobody knew who Ivan Browning was, but they knew who Jim Blanchard was because they've been using lots and lots of information and seeing at his conferences. So his name is really valuable. That's part of what credentialized this offer. So somebody's saying, is this a crackpot selling this? Well, if Jim Blanchard, had him speak at his conference, then maybe there's some credibility to it. That's the real power of endorsement. And I'll tell you, the offer would not have gone as well cold as it did with Jim Blanchard's name associated on it. And one of the things that you pay for an endorsement, when you get into endorsements and you look at joint ventures and what that's all about, if you want to use Ted's name is very valuable to him, and he spent a lot of years building his name and his reputation. And when you get into an endorsement, if you want Ted to endorse your product to his list and the people that have bought from him, he's going to want to know that it's really valuable. So when you see somebody that has worked a long time, like Jim Blanchard, to put on a conference and to have good credibility, that's going to be a very powerful endorsement.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We got an endorsement last year, a lot because of my current wife, my last wife. I mean, the only wife I'll ever have. She's worked for Gary. You see this headline, why Gary Halbert is telling his closest friends they need to attend a guerrilla video boot camp and why they can't get in. And we had a real good response to an offer like this because it went to Gary's list. No one would have read the letter if we hadn't had Gary Halbert's name in the headline to Gary's list. I mean, no one else would have read the letter. I'm going to show you one. I'm going to give you something. I'll show you one box, and then we're going to go on break for a few minutes. This is our order form. And we don't want them to use it. We absolutely don't want anybody to use our order form. And the reason is because we don't want them to have to put an envelope and to write a check and find a stamp. So it says a lot of things. You notice that we tell them about 100% money-back guarantee. Yes, please send me. You know, a lot of times people open your letter and they won't read anything but the order form. So we repeat the offer on the order form. We have the little bullets, the introduction to the watch, and all the neat stuff. I wish to place my order as follows. And then in big bold print it says, for faster service, call. You know how many offers I've got that people don't even put their phone number on the order form? You want people to call. You want to call when they're thinking about it. You also notice it says 24 hours a day. So they can call anytime. You want to take all the roadblocks out. By the way, if you want this, it's available on Diskette, and I'll give it to you free. Just ask Sissy. We'll mail it to you on Diskette, so if you do decide to leap into copywriting and you want an order form that you can use, we'll make it available to you on Diskette.
I really agree with Bill that I think a lot of people are responsive, and they want a telephone number, and they want a call. But I don't want to discount the fact that there are a lot of people out there that are retired and that they're at home and they really like the mail.
Boy,
and
they really
like to fill out coupons and they really like to go and get the envelope and put the stamp on it and stick the thing in. They love it. And does anybody here get Firestorm chats for Gary North? The majority of people that get Gary North are people that are writing in because they have the time to sit and listen to Gary's tapes or they're listening to them in the car, and they really like filling out the forms. So make sure you've got a place for people to fill it out. You don't want to discount that and just put a phone number. You need to have a place where they can write it down.
Okay, we're going to get ready to go, but before we do, when you get home, get a box this size. And every time you get a letter from anybody about anything, toss it in the box. And then when you get ready to write a letter to anybody trying to sell something, pull the letters out and read them one by one. And notice things that almost every one of them are stuck. Like if you pull this one out, the headline says English First. These guys aren't selling anything. You know what they're selling? They want you to give a donation of up to $500 so that they can lobby people to teach English only or English First in public schools of America. Yeah. Well, didn't you get on the same list? And you notice that on this particular list, I use a code. I used a code so that it's not coming to me.
Bill.
That's my thing. I've heard that. The pitch that he got. And I can tell you what list he's on because of the kind of junk mail he gets.
Here's one from Omaha Steaks.
Who gets Omaha Steaks?
I get junk mail.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Here's one from Parsons Technology. Now, this is a computer offer. It's a really good offer, and they write real good stuff. As a matter of fact, on my computer, I've got a style sheet called Parsons. Because I went through and measured their fonts and just laid it out. Go ahead, Ted.
I just wanted to say that Bill's talked about, you know, hiring copywriters and hire the right person for the job, and you can't do everything yourself and so forth. I just like to say that I think Bill Myers is one of the best copywriters in the United States, that he really knows how to touch the hearts of the people who, particularly the people that he's attracted and he works with in regard to the video business. I think it would be very difficult to get someone to, and there's some of the top copywriters in America to get someone that could exceed your abilities in the business you have. And I also feel that of the people here, I would guess that probably half of you could, with some real study and some effort, those of you that have a good sales intuition, could be a better copywriter for yourself than any copywriter you could ever hire. And I just wanted to say that with all due respect to all the professional copywriters here, and there's some great ones, some of you would not be able to hire anyone that could do the kind of a job you could do because you have the love and the passion. You need to pay the rent. You have more motivation to pay the rent than anyone else, and you're not going to be able to buy that no matter how much. You're not going to buy the motivation you have no matter how, if a copywriter charges you $100,000 a page. You're not going to be able to do it.
I want to thank Ted for that. And there's a reason what Ted said is true. I want to illustrate the reason. Again, this is what I use as a sample. How many people here have jobs, have income coming in from some source, some legal source? Right here we got Dave. Dave quit his job. Dave doesn't have a job, doesn't have any income coming in other than his wife, which is good. How motivated do you think Dave is to do something in direct mail? And of the people in this room, you know who I think is going to be one of the first persons that actually does something in direct mail? Especially now that his wife is here sitting by him? It's going to be Dave. Now, his first one may not make any money, but I guarantee you he's going to spend the time to study this junk mail and study all the stuff we passed out, and he's actually going to do something. Because he's called his wife and made her come down here from her paying job. So she could sit in and while he was on vacation in Hot Springs learning about how to make money. Now, when he goes home, you think she's going to remind him of this little speech that we just made and the fact that we singled him out? Especially now that it's on tape and maybe 1,000 people are going to see it on tape. So, you know, you talk about motivation. I mentioned this earlier. You know how I got motivated? I quit my job. Somebody said, quit your job, go work for yourself. I quit my job. The first day was great. The second day was not so good. The third day I started worrying about how I'm going to feed myself. And then after that, I started studying about how to make money and actually copied people. Copied Ted Nugent, Ted Nicholas, had his book. I didn't know him at that time, bought Maximum Money, copied Gary Halbert every time he said to do something. I blindly and foolishly did what he said. And you know what? It worked. You know why it worked? Because I did it. I mean, I just did it. I didn't say, this is great knowledge, super knowledge, and stored it back in the files. I actually did it. And a lot of them failed. Like Ted Nicholas says, the only way you're going to win is to have a lot of strikeouts. And that's the way to do it. Now, with that, let's take a break and come back in here. We want to be out of this room by 6 o'clock so everybody can eat. Take a break. Get your candy bar. We're going to be back in here at 5 straight up, and then we'll finish off the day.
This is a solid gold nugget watch, and I keep saying not gold.
Everybody come in, please, and have a seat. Hey, Jim, would you find me the other two microphones? Does anybody see any microphones around here? It's probably not turned on. Is Karen in here? Oh, she's in David Deutsch's room, isn't she? I want everybody to stand up, look beside you, and see if you see something that looks like this. Anywhere close to you. I have one. Good. I hope you made a profit. Here's one. Here's the other one. I want to wire Gary Halbert. What we're going to do here... Okay. Gary's going to make an announcement, and then we're going to turn the cameras off for about an hour and do something.
We're going to need all the copywriters to come up here now. Would you all come back up and take your seats? This is the part the copywriters live for. This is the part of the program we call Humiliate the Audience. Okay. Let me tell you something about the creative process. You cannot write copy by committee. You can brainstorm by committee, which we just did. But the brainstorm session went about as far as it could profitably go. So what Bill and I did at this point in time is we took one of the best copywriters in the room, David Deutsch, and we gave him all of the notes that had been input into the computer as a result of the brainstorm session, plus we gave him my original loosey-goosey draft, sent him up to another room, and he's going to come back here at 7:30 with a finished direct mail package that I guarantee you will knock your eyes out. We're going to do the same thing tomorrow with Loretta Duffy and somebody else. We got more than one promotion to do, and we put them all on the spot. I'll tell you what we're going to do in just a moment, but I want to read something to you. I was recently hired by one of my lifetime subscribers to become a client, and he's selling a commodity newsletter. And what I did is I ran a lead generating ad that said, son of German, the headline, the lead-in says, it turns out money just like clockwork. Son of German scientist escapes from Russia and goes on to develop a commodity trading system that almost never fails. When the people reply to that, they get this letter, which repeats the headline, printed on top of the letter, and it says, John Q. Everett, 123 Elm Street, Massillon, Ohio, 44646. Dear Mr. Everett, please take a moment to read the headline at the top of this page. I'm sure you remember it because it is the same headline I used in an ad recently in Investors Daily, which caused you to contact me for more information. Listen, if you are interested in making huge profits by trading commodity futures, this may very well be turn out to be the most interesting and life-changing letter you will ever read. Here is why. The son of the German scientist referred to in the headline is Paul Lieberkuhn, a friend of mine, and he has developed, I believe, and then a subhead, the most high-profit commodity trading system ever created. What you've just seen there is an example of how to use to run a lead-generating ad. And then when you get the ad, you repeat what you said in the lead-generating ad on the first page of your letter so that the recipient remembers what's going on. Is my son Bond in the room yet? Is Bond here? Anyway, this, I'm training my son Bond. He works side-by-side with me now. He was in college in Key West, Florida, and he was going for a degree in international business, and he was on the dean's list there. And he said, Dad, I can't study here. It's too much of a party town. So we sent him to San Francisco, and he was also on the dean's list up there.
Is that Bond?
It's Bond. Bond, we're just talking about. So he's also on the dean's list up there. But we got to talking, and I said, look, if you're going for a degree in international business, you know, I do business in 29 countries. And so he decided he come and is working with me now. And I've heard him say that he learns more in one business meeting with me than he learns in an entire year of going to school. And he's going to sit up here and participate in the next. So we should give a little bit of a hand for my son Bond here, because he's going to be, I think, one of the top copywriters in the country.